John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, we read those verses again. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In this text, you have three persons, or three different groups of persons. They have, first of all, Christ, the vine. I am the true vine, he says. And then we have the Father, the husbandman. And my Father is the husbandman. And then the branches, every branch in me. And we read there in verse 5 that believers are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we have a beautiful picture here. We have a sweet Saviour who calls himself the vine. And we have believers who are believing in the Lord Jesus, who are trusting in him. They've been joined to him by faith, and the inner life of the Holy Spirit is in them, coming from Christ, and they're bearing fruit. So we have the Saviour and the union between the believers, the branches in Christ. But what I want to speak about this morning is the divine husbandman, the Father himself. The Father is called by the Lord Jesus the husbandman. My Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So the Lord Jesus here is telling us about his Father and the Father's care. That's what he's telling us about. He's telling us about the care of the Father. My Father cares for the branches, is what he's saying in this parable. And he said it in other words, on another occasion in this portion of John's Gospel. He says, the Father himself loveth you. He cares for you. And you remember how the prophet Isaiah talks about the vineyard of the Lord, and speaking in the words of God, he says, a vineyard, I the Lord do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest anyone hurt it. I will keep it night and day. So it's a kind of an exposition of that text. The Lord's care for the vineyard, the Lord's care for the vine and the branches. The Father himself loveth you. Remember Peter said, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. So the husbandman, he not only plants the vine, he also attends it daily, he protects it, he provides for it, he preserves it. And the Lord's purpose is to comfort the apostles and the disciples. This is what this whole upper room discourse is about. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be alarmed. I'm going to go away. But don't you be over anxious. He cares for us, the Savior, but he also wants to assure us, my Father cares for you too. And it's not my Father was the husbandman. He's not just talking about the past, the decrees of God, giving the Christians to the Savior. He's not just talking about the past work of conversion where they're joined by faith to Jesus Christ. He's talking about the present work of the Father. My Father is the husbandman. Not just was, but he is. He'd be always the husbandman. He'd be caring for you all the time, all the while, to the very end. So he's comforting his apostles. He's assuring them. And he's telling them that his love and his care and his patience will never wane. You know, that's the thing about a husbandman, you see, a farmer. And especially a vine dresser, a husbandman who works in the vineyard. He's always attending to the branches. He's always caring that they become fruitful. He's always protecting them, always pruning, taking away the little insects that do harm, carefully handling and cleaning the grapes as they form. There's this ongoing care. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is assuring us about our Heavenly Father this morning. The husbandman that laboreth, laboring for the fruit. Now, the Father cares for us, and the way that he does so is in providence, externally. There's the inward working of the Holy Spirit in the branches, between Christ and the branches, the inward, the sap, the internal workings and actings. But this is an external, handling the branches, handling the fruit. It's providence, providential care. The good providences and what we might think even our bad providences in our life, the purging, the difficult things, the Father is doing these things as well upon us. And all of this is part of his care for us. And you notice that it says, every branch. The Lord says that twice. Every branch in me, verse 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So it's not just some believers. Not just, you know, the fruitful believers, the ones who are really rich in fruit. No, it's every branch. The less fruitful, even those that don't appear to have any fruit at all, every branch, he's working with every branch. He's working with every believer, every Christian, everyone who has faith in Christ. So I point that out to you. The cure is to all the people. Maybe you think, well, I'm not a very strong believer, and I've let the Lord down so many times. Would the Father care for me? Would he care for me any less than maybe the stronger believers and those who are abounding in fruitfulness? The answer is he does. He cares for us all. He cares for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. For everyone who's in the Redeemer. He cares for us all. The Father himself careth for you. So whoever you are this morning, and however poor a Christian you may think yourself to be, this is a message of comfort for us all. The Father himself careth for us. Now, you will observe that in this care that is pointed out in verse 2, there are two parts. There is the care for the branches, which don't appear to have any fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then there is the care for the branches that do have fruit, very obvious fruit, evident fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there are the apparent fruitless branches and the fruitful branches, and the husbandman is handling both. He's dealing with both. He's caring for both. Now, let's look at both these aspects of that. The fruitless branches, first of all. Now, if we consider this, the taking away the fruitless branches. Now, this is a very difficult verse, and there are a lot of different interpretations of it. And the main question is, are these branches in Christ the same way that those that are very fruitful are in Christ? Are they in Christ in the same way? Are they true believers? Are they a true union to Jesus Christ? And there are different interpretations. Some say, no, they don't. They're just professors. They're not really in Christ at all. They don't have the Holy Spirit truly. And there are those who say, well, yes, they are in Christ in the same way. But the fruit is just not so evident, so obvious. Now, I'm going to take it that they are true believers in him. Every branch in me. The Lord doesn't differentiate about this being in him. It seems to be the same word in me. So I take them as true believers. I think that there is one thing that we have to keep in mind. Whenever the Lord is speaking this, it's the springtime. It's the time whenever the farmers are doing everything possible to encourage the fruit. It's a time whenever he is most tender and most careful of his vine. And I think we should Also keep in mind here that the audience that he is speaking to are all true believers. Judas is gone. They're all true believers. He's speaking to them. You're the branches. And he is not differentiating amongst them. So the audience is made up of true believers. And remember that these true believers very soon are going to appear as if they're fruitless. Because they leave the Lord whenever he heads to the cross. They all forsake him and flee. And you remember that Peter even denied the Lord. And he didn't just deny him, but he did it with oaths. He swore that he didn't know him in a very, very wicked way. And the disciples were appearing as those who were fruitless. At that particular point in time, they weren't full of fruit. They looked as if they had no fruit at all whenever they were forsaking the Lord and fleeing him. But we know in the outcome that the Father cared for them, that they were all restored, and in time they all become fruitful because God continued to work with them, even though there was the apparent fruitlessness. So I take these as setting forth true believers who, for various reasons, at a particular stage, may appear fruitless. The verb itself does not necessarily give the idea that taking away completely and breaking away from the vine and casting forth. Now, the scenario in verse 6 where there is a casting forth of the branches, that's a different scenario altogether. This verb, to take away, it literally means to raise, to lift up, to move. Not to break and to, you know, give up hope for and to just throw away and give up working with. No, that's not what the vine dresser does. He doesn't do that. He maybe the vines are low, they're just new ones coming, new branches, and they have to be raised. They're delicate. You have to raise them, you have to work with them. Well, there's no fruit yet, but you have to labor, you have to take care, you have to make the effort. Especially you have to lift them because they would maybe be in the undergrowth in the dark, and they'd have to be raised up and tied up in higher positions, up into the light. So there's this repositioning. He moves. He takes from that place of darkness where they find themselves, that place where they're not going to be fruitful at all, and he repositions them. So it's a moving, not a total removing altogether. I think that is the sense of the word here. It's the part of the cure. So I'm suggesting that he's lifting them up into prominent places where they'll be having more light and more hope of becoming fruitful. It's part of the Father's tender, loving cure in the spring season with the new branches appearing. And that's how the husbandman does it. He's not brutal with his vine. He cures. He cures for you. Some young believers aren't all fruitful straight away. It takes time. Maybe you're just a young believer. You had many failures, many disappointments in your walk with God. It takes time. The Father doesn't give up on you. He cares for you. And there are other believers who are always having doubts about their salvation. They're always beating on their breast. They're always in the low place. They're always in that situation where they don't have joy and peace in their own hearts. They don't have the fruit of joy. They don't have the fruit of peace, which are very important fruits of the Spirit in a believer's life. And yet, oftentimes, believers lack these because they're in the darkness. They haven't come into the light of the Word the way they ought. They haven't been listening to God's Word the way that they ought. Does the Father give up on them? No, he carefully cares for them and repositions them in providence. in ways where he brings them more to study the Bible. Because sometimes it's suffering that makes us study our Bible. Sometimes it's suffering that makes us really begin to understand the Bible, and things become alive more. Whenever God repositions us in providence and puts us in a hotter place, in a more difficult place perhaps. So it's all part of the Father's care for maybe a new believer or maybe a backslider. Does the Lord give up on the backslider? I mean, the backslider isn't appearing fruitful. He looks fruitless. But if he's been a true believer in Christ, the Father doesn't give up on them. He goes after the sheep that wanders from the fold and goes astray. And so whenever it appears even that a normally fruitful branch is at another particular year not appearing to be as in former years, he doesn't give up on it. No, there is the effort. So he lifts us up. He works with us in providence so that our whole life is changed. But that's good. He's recalling us again. He's restoring us. We're feeling the providential hands upon us. What does it say in the Bible? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. And that's a place that some poor Christians find themselves in. But God doesn't forsake them. He raises them up out of the dust. So the Lord graciously lifts us up out of our cold estate and out of our backslidden condition, and he doesn't allow the branches to continue being fruitless. He taketh it away from the darkness, away from the overgrowth below and the reposition. So that's part of the cure, I take it. But then there are the fruitful branches as well. These branches are bearing fruit, and it appears on them each year. He says every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So again, even the fruitful believers, those who've been walking with God for years, he's still handling them as well in his providence. He's still purging them so that there will be more fruit in their lives, so that it'll be maximized, the fruitfulness of believers. So God never stops working with the saints. And we never become to such a state where we're, you know, saturated with fruitfulness, and we don't need any more of the Lord's cure, any more of the Lord's work. We're always needing the Lord to work in us more and more. We're always capable of being more fruitful. The child of God never in this life reaches a position or state of sinlessness and perfection. There's no such a state in this life. We always need the tender care of the husbandman. Even the most fruitful believer is capable in God's grace, and by the word and inner workings of the Holy Spirit, to bring forth more fruit to the glory of God. So let us never think that we've made it, or that we have reached the pinnacle of Christian life. No, we always need the Father's care so that we may become more godly and more holy. So there is this need to abide in Christ. That's vital. But I'm not speaking about that this morning. I'm not speaking about the word of God inwardly working in us. Abide in me and my words abide in you. We're not speaking of the inward life. That is a subject in itself. The Holy Spirit and the means of grace and the ministry of the word. We're not talking about that so much, the life of God in the soul of the child of God. It's more the external circumstances, the Father's hand outwardly in these providences. But of course the husbandman's concerned about the inward. But there are the external workings of providence facilitating the inward. That's what we're talking about. So these strange things that God does with you in life, these afflictions that he sends you, He purgeth it. These disappointments in life, these sicknesses that you get. So the Lord is working in providence to facilitate the inward work of the Holy Spirit in your life and the means of grace in the house of God. You know, yes, the house of God is very important. You get the word of God. But every day and every hour out there, you're meeting providence. And you'll come in here under the word of God, and the word of God will dovetail with the Father's providence in your life. They'll work together. But I'm focusing on providence. Maybe a loved one dies. Maybe you get a sickness and you become weak and ill and you're never the same person again because this physical sickness has taken hold of you. You might not think it, but that's a husbandman's care in your life. The Father's working in your life. He careth for you. He purgeth it. If he repositions you and puts you in a different position of physical weakness, or the loss of a loved one, or a loss of a job, or some other disappointment, everything's in the husbandman's care. It's all in the Father's hand. It's all under his control. And everything is working together for good to them that love God, to all that are Christians. It's all part of the husbandman's curing work. And the purging very often involves the knife. Just because you see the husbandman with a knife and using a knife and doing a bit of cutting with the knife, you don't conclude that he's brutal. He's not brutal. Our God is never brutal to us, brethren and sisters. The devil's brutal. Sometimes we're brutal to ourselves. But our Father is never, never brutal. Everything he does in tender care for us. We could transfer the image of husbandman and the vine to a father and a son. Very often the Bible uses that image of the father's care for his children. And instead of the word purging, which is the word that you use in the image of the vine and the branches, the word would be chastening. Chastening. And the instrument would be the rod of affliction. But it's the same thing. He's purging them. We call it chastening whenever it's in the household environment, different from the field environment, but it's the same teaching. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Whom the Lord loveth, whom the Lord cares for, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son. Doesn't that sound familiar? Every branch he purges, every branch he repositions, every son, every child in the house, he scourges because we still are sinful. We still don't have the fruit that we ought to have. We're still a disappointment to God in the little fruit that we bear, when we should be bearing far more fruit. Such are the resources that are at hand to us in the word of God and in the ministry of the church and of the Holy Spirit. So he chastens us. And if you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as sons. He's not dealing with you as you're a wicked enemy and he wants to cast you out and destroy you and ruin you. No, he deals with you as he deals with sons. Just as he deals with the branches in his vine. He cures for you. If you're without chastisement, if you are without purging, then you're illegitimate sons. You're not children at all. So it's all part of the Father's care. So observe the Father's providences in your life, brethren and sisters. The knocks that you get, the hurts that you feel, the disappointments you go through, the pains in life, the sicknesses, the bereavements, the oppositions of men,
All of these are so painful.
But they're all part of the Father's care. They're to make you better. They're to make you more Christ-like. They're to make you more humble. They're to make you not be lifted up with pride and become arrogant. They're to make you to be crying and praying unto Him from a humble position. It's always better to be humble. It's always better to feel pain and be kept in the lowly place, just crying unto God and depending on His grace and mercy. It's better to be there than to be proud and careless and arrogant. And this is how the Father purgeth His children. So our light affliction, we must not forget, is just for a moment. And it works in for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're not to look at the things which are seen, but we're to look at the things which are eternal. And our Lord says to us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He purgeth it. So maybe you're going through the mill this morning. Maybe you're getting it tough in life. Maybe you're hurt. Well, the Savior's saying, let not your heart be troubled. The husbandman is purging you. The husbandman is working with you. So don't be troubled. God loves you, child of God. God the Son loves you. He gives this discourse. He tells us about this care. And then He goes out after it, very shortly after, to give His life for us, to die for us. So the Son loves us. And God the Holy Spirit loves us too. Because even despite all our failures and all our sins, He indwells us. He continues with us. He convicts us. He makes us to be mourning our sins. He makes us to hope in Christ and in the gospel and in the blood that washes us. He makes us to use the means of grace in His house and to receive benefit from them. So the Spirit loves us. But especially this morning, I want you to be assured the Father loves you. Even when you feel He hurts you, He does it in His love for you, sending that purging that we need. So yes, He cares. I know He cares, the poet said. So don't rebel. And especially don't get bitter. Don't become bitter. But believe and submit and trust and rest in Him and delight. Even in all the trials you go through, delight in a loving Father's care. Delight thyself also in Him. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. And what better desire can there be in us than to be holy and to be fruitful? So keep trusting in Him and be comforted this morning.